Jimi Hendrix and the Band of Gypsies, live at the Fillmore East. It's 105.9 The Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock, and our on-air finale to Jimi Hendrix Day. I'm Dave Lawrence. Let's return to hear the conclusion of my discussion with legendary Hendrix bassist Billy Cox as our intermission special continues on 105.9 The Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock.
As you guys were heading out of the U.S. and into Europe in the late summer of 1970, this is as you head off to do the tour that would yield the Blue Wild Angel Live at the Isle of Wight show. What was the energy like with you guys?
It was high. I think Jimmy had... Well, it was we had two significant things happening here. We had him going back touring again and touring Europe. He hadn't been there in a while. Here he also, and me, anticipating, he's saying, I hope they will accept this new bass player of mine who replaced one of theirs.
Mm.
And I'm saying subconsciously, yeah, well, I'm going to give it my all in all and show him that Jimmy did make the right decision.
And he knew who he was picking.
Right, and it was a good gig, very, very good gig, all except for the time when Jimmy did a split and split his pants in the back, but all in all, we got over that.
And how did he deal with that one?
He just changed pants right quick.
Right there in the show, so, and no one too far away was none the better.
No one knew.
Right, they just thought it was part of the show.
But all in all, that was a very, very, and as I understand, there were more people at the Isle of Wight than there were at Woodstock, but... However, we played, when we got to the venue, it was nighttime, it was dark, and we couldn't see.
Right.
We just saw this big, humongous crowd, so we didn't know.
And you guys played in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how did you guys do a set list? Was it something that Jimmy would just come and, all right, this is what we're going to do, or did he wing it Grateful Dead style?
He'll sit. We usually have a trailer or whatever, and say, okay, one, two, three. He caught the first three. We knew where we were. Then after that, he'd start it off. Just depends upon how he felt. And you have to, he was good at judging, looking out of the crowd, anticipating what would be next, what they would get into. And I think we did God Save the Queen. He asked me, he said, do you know that? And I said, no. He said, oh, well, you can wing it. No big deal. And I never played it before.
And he just says, wing it.
Back in England. And so we did it. And then Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, and then we went on into our regular set.
Oh, that's fantastic. So he did sort of just, he called it as he went, as he saw fit at the moment.
Right.
Wow. If anything, that just builds his mystique up that much higher in my mind.
The guy was incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Tonight we're featuring live at the Fillmore East, as you know, as sort of like an on-air encore or finale to Jimi Hendrix Day, and we're doing an exclusive screening of the new Blue Wild Angel DVD. But I wanted to get you to touch on the historic Fillmore East New Year 69-70 series, if you could. What did those Band of Gypsy shows feel like going into them?
Incredible. Incredible for the short period of time that we had rehearsed for them. And when we looked out on off stage to the diverse crowd that was looking at us, they knew there was something new and different in the air. And everyone that I could see was in awe of the sound that we were projecting. And I think all of the shows, well, we did four shows, all shows went perfect.
There's a famous story that comes out of that series of shows. It's about how Bill Graham, the legendary promoter who ran the Fillmores and did so much else for rock, he sort of, I don't know what the correct term would be, chastised Jimmy a bit about his performance. We've heard from Eddie Kramer a bit on that. Can you share as much light as you possibly can on that?
I think it was something he said, oh, you didn't play too well out there, blah, blah, blah. And then Jimmy went out to that next set, and he burnt. I mean, you know, every set was a little different. And then I think he came back behind stage and said, now, how about that, you know?
And so it did really happen.
It did really happen.
You were not in the presence of Jimmy. You were not right there when Bill...
I was listening, and I was not listening. I didn't hold on to his every word he spoke.
But you were right there?
Yeah, I was in the vicinity.
Wow. And at those shows, those Fillmore East shows in New York City, 69-70, who was the opening band that played there? Or were you guys, weren't doing the whole show by yourselves, or were you?
Voices of East Harlem, I think.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
They were a bunch of kids from East Harlem who had incredible voices, and they were a cappella.
Didn't Jimmy do a gig one time up there, like playing right after them or something?
Oh, yeah, that was in the street.
In the street gig, right.
Street gig, yeah.
My good friend John McDermott, one of the producers there at Experience Hendrix.
Oh, yeah, John, yeah.
John tells me that you guys were big Rocky and Bullwinkle fans.
Oh, please, John shouldn't have told that story. Yeah, we liked cartoons, really did. Sit around eating strawberry upside down cake and putting the whipped cream all on our noses and stuff. I mean, it was great. We were adults, but I think we had a lot of kid in us. You know, I still have a lot of kid in me now. I just bought a new motorcycle. I'm having the time of my life.
You know? A new Harley, you said the other day.
And I think when the little boy gets out of you and the little girl gets out of the women, you know, you got a problem.
Right. Now you want to keep that energy around.
You got to keep that. You got to have that.
Speaking of your motorcycle, there's that. You didn't happen to be present when the photo shoot took place for South Saturn Delta, where Jimmy's pictured on that motorcycle on the cover.
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't there.
That's a great shot.
Yeah, that's an incredible shot.
You must dig that one, being a bike rider.
I'm autographing that all the time.
Are you really?
In various places.
And I'm sure you have a lot of memorabilia that you've collected through the years.
I do.
What do you think is like one of your favorite or most treasured item that like when you say it, all the listeners are just gonna go, oh, I can't imagine having that.
I think his green vest.
You have it.
I have.
Wow, man.
A lot of times we borrow things from each other and we wouldn't return them. He has a couple belt buckles of mine. I got some belt buckles of his. You know, that's how we did. We just, you know, by the way, I got, you know. You know, that happens on the road, especially if we only had three pieces, and sometimes you forget things or lose things, et cetera. Like, that's where we wound up borrowing from each other.
And then you just ended up with it in the wash of it.
I ended up with it.
And all these years later, Billy, do you ever just stop and wonder, as all these the releases keep coming, they're fantastic, they're finally being done the right way, the people who are doing them, as I've said countless times, they love Jimmy, they care about Jimmy, they want this music to sound right, they don't want to screw with the integrity of it. Do you ever stop as these records come out and just wonder to yourself what Jimmy's impression of it all would be?
I think he'd be proud. He'd be proud of it, especially what his sister's doing with the music and the estate. I mean, there was a time we went 15 years with we weren't invited anywhere. In fact, someone had taken myself, Mitch, Buddy off the tracks and put some musicians on there who didn't even care about that music. They didn't know nothing about it. They couldn't feel it from their heart and their soul and their spirit. Jimmy deliberately picked all the guys who played with him because he knew where their spirit was, and he knew that they were capable of doing and going where he wanted to go. But you just can't pick a bunch of anybody's and put them on music like that. It just doesn't work. Yeah, they're musicians and they play, but spirit is another dimension. So I'm very proud of the estate and what they're doing. They're doing a good job, and I'm looking forward to some more things that will be coming in the future.
Yeah, well, something, you know, that we definitely are interested out here at the Big Kahuna would be getting you guys to come out and maybe do a show. I know my buddy John at the label has talked about maybe bringing the BOG out here with some guests. Something.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we'd love to welcome you back to the island, my friend.
All right.
Legendary Jimi Hendrix bassist Billy Cox. We salute you, brother. Very much appreciate your conversation.
Thank you.
It's 105.9 The Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock.
This is Billy Cox, Band of Gypsies, Jimi Hendrix Experience. You're listening to Dave Lawrence on 105.9 The Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock.
You are the man, Billy Cox.
All right.